If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Damn, you got a fat ass. But enough about that big old butt of yours. This is comedian Mike Rainey from Porch Fest 2024, and my homeboy Alan Aldridge was gracious enough to let me speak to you for a moment about my new Wigger crime novel. That's right, you heard me. New Wigger crime novel that is guaranteed to be the funniest, most fucked up thing you read all summer. The story revolves around two lovable losers named Fats and Tommy, whose lives revolve around getting fucked up, sucking fat tits, and the 2 months out of the year where they get to work at Halloween Adventure. Unfortunately, on their last day of work, they are erroneously accused of their boss's murder and have to spend the rest of the night running across town trying to fraudulently cash a check, which will give them the funds to get out of Delco or will put them in jail for the rest of their lives. This book has something for everybody. It has murder. It has stolen ATV chases. It has drug abuse. It has schizophrenic maniacs who live behind 7-Eleven smearing shit in the faces of crooked cops. It has obese Arby's managers getting their asses eaten at the end of a long shift. I promise you, if you are a degenerate like I am, you will love this book. That's Delco Dirtball, available now at onperks.com, which is onperks.com. Get ready for Porch Talk.
Yeah. And all the boys were loaded with spice, rum, and guns and cutlasses. Now they're breaking through the sound. Now they're really running. So run up the colors just to let them know we're coming so fast that our mast is bending. Grandpa was a sailor, having mostly a pirate, part-time whaler. He'd make port and head in the town. He'd find him a house where the drinks came on down, and he'd find his way to the back room. He easily located by sweet fresh perfume. I cut my teeth on a dory out there in the south. I lost track of time and got swept by the tides. And a thousand miles later, I finally touched ground. I was really running. I run up my colors just to let them know I was coming so fast that my mask was bending. Then I might spend my fortune too fast, but I'll have ship and a crew that will last till the next 40 guns lie before me. I roar in on the stern and the waves for the glory. Oh, cast the mainsail down, boy, and prime up those pistols and let's make some noise for the ones that could not make this fight. Oh, reasons of women and prison and fight. Now we're really running, so run up the colors just to let them know we're coming so fast that our mast is bending. So fast that our mast is bending.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and you know him, you love him, you're getting used to him. I got Fire Camino here with me, dude. What's up?
What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing?
My man is bringing the energy this evening, dude. What's cooking?
Man, there's a lot of things cooking. I've been busy, Alan.
Look at it. Yeah. So the last episode was the me show. Now we're gonna have the you show.
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of irons in the fire.
That's what I love to hear.
So we did that episode Thursday. No, it was Tuesday.
Right.
I can't remember.
Yeah, one of the two.
But pretty much been working my ass off like usual, but I did something special this weekend.
Come on with it.
Me and Jesse went kayaking down the Cahaba.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's do the reveal, man. What happened?
All right. Rivers are big.
I like where your head is.
Unbeknownst to either of us, rivers are big.
Yes.
So here's the thing. I have a bone to pick. The Cahaba River Society or Riverwalk, whatever the fuck, whoever's official website, they say that there's a boat launch in Trustful, and they're fucking lying. There's not a boat launch in Trustful.
Did y'all go scouting?
No. Here's the thing. We loaded in Trustful. So we had at 6 in the morning on Saturday.
Whose idea was this? Jesse's?
No, this is mine, because, all right, here's another thing. I recently got a credit card.
My man.
Yeah, no, I'm moving up in the world.
All right, for those of you listening, this is not the kind of guy that should have a credit card.
No one should ever loan me money. That being said, guess how much I owe on my credit card?
I'm pretty sure you probably maxed it out. I'm going to go that you owe $500 on it.
No, I owe jack shit. I've actually been very responsible.
Nice. I've only, every time Porch Fest comes around, I have a credit card just for that. But I usually have it paid off in like 2 or 3 months. But I'm still paying off a credit card that not going to do that. But I am currently paying off a Max credit card that was taken out in my name, although unbeknownst to me, until a certain thing transpired.
That has nothing to do with a girl.
No.
Anyway, we're talking about a riverboat trip.
But yeah, dude, so, man, credit cards are wonderful. But my goodness, if you ever, at least with the one that I have, and it's how it happened, it was maxed out and then payments were not being made. And my goodness, those APR rates are just insane if you breach something on the contract.
Don't talk to me about APR rates. It's funny. I'm getting my life together. For me to be a degenerate, I am getting my life together.
My goodness.
I have a savings account now.
Oh, dude, my savings account hasn't been a savings account. It's like, it's still classified as a saving account, but it doesn't accrue interest. It just, the money just sits there.
All right. Off the podcast, I'll tell you how to make some money off the savings account.
Right on. Okay. We're not going to give the listeners the cheat codes. I like this. We're going to keep it inside baseball here.
Right. My girlfriend, she's got some interesting techniques, and it has nothing to do with bloodlines or whatever tribe she is.
From the tribe of Benjamin.
No, look, hey, listen. We're not getting into that. But, look, we already had a Cobb episode this week. We have to play it cool.
Shout out, buddy. Love you.
But no, it is funny because I am getting my life together. Like I have a credit card, which I don't owe a balance on. I have a fucking savings account. What was the other thing? I did another thing that was good for my financial well-being and me being able to sustain myself.
You did it at a hell of a time. I'm sure while you were floating on the Cahaba, with Jesse as in tune as he is with the goings on of the world. But my goodness, did Monday, boy, folks were freaking out about the stock market.
Man, all right, here's the thing. Fuck it, this episode, I'm already drunk, so we're going in. Ted Kaczynski was right. We're starting off fucking with heat. Listen, fuck. The news, fuck what's going on. Truthfully, let me tell you how to reach enlightenment. Now listen, I'm not telling you should mail fucking bombs in the mail, but go out and experience nature. Truthfully, if you want to see, like, every beautiful thing that God ever created is out in nature. And, like, every time, like, it's easy for us to, in our society, with, like, with the phones, with Instagram and TikTok and everything, like, we go, oh, fuck, everything's fucked, and, oh, God, who's running for president, and what's going on, and I don't know, and blah. But, like, if you, honest to God, just take a moment to go out in nature and go, look, there's a dragonfly. Like, literally, like, it's so simple. Like, I haven't thought that on the river. I was in so much pain. By the time we finished, like, our little course. But, like, the whole time while I was out there, I was happy. Like, I was like, this is nature. This is what we're supposed to be. This is where we are.
Dude, I liked how you segue into that. I got into hot water. There was a span of time, and it's probably Rainey's fault. It probably had a lot to do with Little Stinkers, but it would just so happen, like, the Man Up guys, they would bring up a figure such as a Ted or even the Killdozer guy, right? And like, I've read the manifesto that Ted wrote, and like you said, he had some pretty good points. I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, I mean, that's the problem with Ted Kaczynski, where like his like addressing of the problem was 100% right. Like he nailed it. Mm-hmm. His solution to the problem, he fucked it. You know what I mean? Like, don't attack. Do not send letter bombs to IBM. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. But anyway, dude, I've already derailed your story, and you segued back into it. So y'all were in Trussville looking for the boat ramp for the Cahaba. Carry on.
All right, so me and Jesse, now listen, we've never been kayaking a day before in our life. We have no idea how kayaking works. Just we thought, like, so normally, and we've alluded to this on previous episodes, like normally I'm off every Sunday and me and Jesse will go on a hike and we'll find different places to hike, whether it be Ruffner, Turkey Creek, Cosby Lake. Like, we'll find different places we can go on a walk. And we've seen people on kayaks and we're like, fuck, we should buy a kayak. So recently I got a credit card and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to buy some kayaks. It was cheaper, get this, it was cheaper to buy two single kayaks than it was to buy one tandem kayak. So I bought two kayaks.
I'll be honest with you, with my not infinite knowledge, whatever the opposite of that would be, but the tandem kayak is an absolute nightmare anyway, so y'all made the right decision. And let's just say that you and your girl decide to go kayaking. And let's say that, you know, through you and Jesse on the Sunday outings, you get pretty proficient at it. And let's say that you decide to take another friend who has never done it before. The thing about having those single kayaks like that, bring a little piece of rope with you, and you can tie the back of your kayak to the front of theirs, and you can just kind of tow them along.
Listen, me and Jesse have no understanding of what kayaking is. I hear you. But we were going in raw dog as raw dog could be.
Oh, you're speaking my language, dude. That is the only way to do something.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I looked at one map on the fucking River Society, the kayak, Cahaba River, whatever, and I had no idea what the fuck I was looking at. I have no idea. Like, so our original plan, anybody who's ever had kayaked the fucking Cahaba is going to laugh at this, because me and Jesse thought we were going to get from fucking Trussville to 280 in a day. We thought it was going to be a little 2-hour riverboat adventure, and most of it was going to be floating down the river. God damn, were we wrong.
did you have some of that Alabama the Beautiful, where the ecology of the state took over and were, we won't say whitewater rapids, but you had some unpleasant time?
No, we don't know how to read a fucking map. Like, we had no idea. Like, rivers have big turns and bends in them.
Yes,
like,
they do.
We had no fundamental understanding of how to read a map. Like, truthfully, that's what fucked us. And Jesse was in the fucking military. You'd think the two of us would be able to go, oh, this is going to be a lot longer than what we thought.
Once again, I'm not getting on y'all's ass, but like, being in the Iron Hills of Birmingham and just thinking about water and how it cuts, I figured y'all would have probably landed on not a straight shot.
No, we're two fucking idiots. We thought, really, no, honest to God, we thought it was going to be like Alabama Adventure. We thought it was going to be like a lazy fucking river where you fucking you get in your little pontoon, you float down the river, and everything's cool. Like, we had no concept of how rivers work. We had no fucking idea.
Oh, brother, I want to tell you a horror story when you get done with your story.
So me and Jesse set out, and, like, we set out in Trustful, and we float down the river for all of 15 feet. And then we realize, oh, shit, the river's not really a river, so you got to pick your fucking boat up and carry it across all the rocks and bullshit and whatever till you get to deeper water. And we did that for fucking probably a mile. And so we're, like, carrying the boat, and then we're dragging the boat sometimes when there's water. And then fucking, like, you get to points where it was deeper, and then you get in the boat. We go for a little bit. And then we start getting out there, and we get to deeper water, and we're going. And, like, we're going for a while. And it gets to be about 8 o'clock. And Jesse's like, where are we? I'm like, I don't know. So I pull the phone out of the waterproof case, and I'm like, let's see where we are. And we have no fucking cell reception because we're out in the middle of butt-fuck nowhere because we're on a river. So we have no idea where we are. We have no idea where we're going. We're just on a fucking river, and we're fucked. Because me and Jesse both thought, oh, this would be a nice little exercise in the morning. You know, get the arms in and fucking, you know, that's it. It'll be a little 2-hour adventure.
Mm-hmm.
No, fuck no. We're on this big, and here's the thing. You're out in the middle of buck nowhere, and you look, and there's just trees, like, so thick, when you look at them, it looks dark, you know?
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Like, where the river cut out, and you'd see, like, these big cliff sides, and it looked like the fucking Grand Canyon, like, where there's, like, all these different definitions in the rock, and fucking, like, you saw all these fish, and you saw dragonflies, and fucking, it was beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, like, we didn't know where we were going, and we knew if we, like, if we just keep going down the river, we'll eventually find a way to get the fuck out. But, like, until then, we're fucked, you know.
Did y'all have somebody, like, plan to meet y'all wherever y'all popped out? Like, let's just say 280, was somebody there ready to pick y'all up?
Yeah. I had, my mom dropped us off in my truck. So my mom drove us at 6 a.m. to Trustful. And I said, hey, we'll call you when you're ready to pick us up. But we didn't know we were going to be out in God knows where, buttfuck nowhere. And no cell reception, no nothing, because there's nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it was hours before I was even able to call and go, hey, I don't know where the fuck we are, but we're trying, and I'll let you know.
Whoa. You, so, I've had the same type of, and that is a, I don't know if I would call it a fear, like that moment when you're in a situation like that, the moment that you realize, maybe we could, quote unquote, the moment I realized I fucked up.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah. Brother, I have been in that circumstance multiple times. So, I mean, like, is there a happy ending? Like, how long did it take y'all to find, how long did it take you to find civilization?
All right, so here's the thing. What me and Jesse envisioned as a 2-hour relaxing fucking boat trip. Here's how it went. So, it was a lot of carrying the fucking boat across rocks. So you didn't knock a fucking hole in it. So you're carrying this fucking, they say it's 40 pounds, they're lying to you. It's like fucking 60 to 80 pound fucking boat over your head. And then you get to deep water. And there was points where, like, fucking trees had fell across the river, so then one guy would have to climb over, and then you would have to hand him his kayak. He would tie up his kayak, then you would hand him your kayak, and then he'd tie up that, and then you would climb over the fucking log and then get over. And then there were some where it's like it's on an incline, there's rocks, and it's like whitewater fucking rafting shit, and you're fucking going down there, and you're trying not to break your goddamn leg, trying to fucking get through, because you know if you break your leg, you're dead, you know. So,
brother, I just heard a horror story. I hate to interrupt you again. This cat is I'm gonna leave the names out, but we're hoping. If he comes back to, right now he's unconscious and he's in a vegetable state, but I don't even think he was in a body of water. I don't know if like it was contracted through him, like walking barefooted through like a mud puddle, or if he was in a bottle of water, but, somewhere close to that proximity in Alabama,
yeah.
I don't know if he had cut his foot. Or, like, how this takes place, but he contracted E. coli from a body of water, and he really didn't feel the symptoms for a time until it was so bad to a point to where it was too late. And I had a dear friend of mine approach me at the previous open mic, and it happens to be his girl's cousin, and his girl and that they're real close. And we're going to have to do something with these medical bills. I wanted to ask you if you could throw together an event. We raise money and, like, you know, like, let's do something cool and fun and, like, try to raise some money. And I'll absolutely do that. Anything that you want, any musician that you want, I'll ask. I'll try to get, like, we'll do it up, right? But it's so nuts to me because, man, I grew up in creek beds. I grew up... Cousin Kennedy, where I'm from, you had what we call the channel. It's actually called the Luxapalala. People in Columbus are familiar with it. Luxapalala, it flows to Columbus. But, man, we were constantly, like, on the weekends. I mean, that's what most people would do for their senior skip day, is you would go to the sandbar at the channel in Millport and just get shit hammered. And... Yeah. You know, it would flow from Kennedy to Millport. Man, we would go to Dollar General and we would get these inner tubes. And, brother, it's an all-day venture. Like, Kennedy to Millport, like, if you were to look at it on a map, it's probably, I don't know, maybe 6 to 10 miles, if that. And the Lux, or the channel... flows with Highway 96, which turns into Highway 50 when you hit the state line in Mississippi, neither here or there. But that was an all-day of adventure on an inner tube or in a flat-bottom boat or a canoe. Like, when you set out, even though you're thinking, like, oh, driving, dude, it's a 10-minute drive, and so you're trying to calculate for it, but we learned at a quick age, when you're on water... Dude, if it takes you 10 minutes, if you busted your ass, yeah, you probably could do it in 2 to 3 hours, but if you really want to take your time, relax, have a couple beers, fish a little bit, pull off at a sandbar, cool off, you might as well say if it's a 10-minute drive, it's going to be a 10-hour outing. You know what I mean?
No, we had no concept of that. Figured out at a young age, we had no idea. We go, well, that's only like a 10-minute drive, so like on a canoe, it has to be faster. Like, we were fucked, you know?
That's, yeah, that's... I mean, it just comes with experience. I'm definitely not going to throw any shade at you. I mean, this is the horror story that I was going to tell you about. When I got my driver's license, I went through a lot of cars. I wrecked a lot of cars early when I got my license. And eventually I would end up with a green 1992 Ford Ranger that my grandfather's best friend would sell to my grandfather for $1.
Holy shit.
And, you know, just so that they could, you know, write it off on the bill of sale or whatever, right? And that was my truck. And it was a rare bird. Brother, like, you're familiar with vehicles. Tell me, how many extended cab Ford Rangers in the 90s you know of that had a V6 in it?
Ooh, very few.
Brother, this I loved that truck. Loved it. But anyway, we would haul a flat bottom boat, and like we were getting brave. Like we had gotten bored with the channel, and we had taken our game over to the Caledonia Steens area, just across the state line of Mississippi. And so Caledonia and Steens is kind of all around the Alabama side of Columbus. And we had no concept of, very similar to, and I'm sorry to hijack your story, but I just wanted to get this one out, is...
I love hearing this.
Is, these were brand new bodies of water. These are creeks, and, you know, as the crow flies, or as the highway goes, like, we had a pretty good concept of where they were going to go, and, like, approximately how much time was going to be spent. But we got a late run, and we put off in this creek in Steens. Now, granted, we didn't have another guy waiting at our exit. We didn't have cell phones. This is cell phones were around. Like, I think at this time, like, we had just gotten to like the Razor and the Slivers and all that.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was around, but none of us had that, because, I mean, we were poor. But, and so, like, we snuck out one Saturday and late, and so it was around 1 o'clock. We put off in this body of water in Mississippi. None of our parents and, you know, nobody that needed to know knew where we were. Good old teenage boy shit. And, man, we put off, and we had been in this body of water forever. We didn't bring anything to drink. We didn't bring anything to eat. And we're 2-3 hours in, and, like, we are literally, like, pushing and shoving each other because we're hungry and thirsty. And it's not a good time. And the sun starts going down, and we are, you know, like what you were saying, we're in the middle of nowhere. We're in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And luckily, The creek is bending, and we hear a lawnmower. We have no idea what part of the country we're in. We're guessing, like, we're somewhere in Steens, Mississippi, and this creek is just winding and winding, and it's never going to civilization. And we hear this lawnmower, and we start hooting and hollering, and we hear the lawnmower cut off, and it just happened to be this good old boy, you know, probably at that time, probably in his 50s, you know, he's done raised his kids. He's got sweet grandbabies. Like, picture that, like, sweet old man energy. And he walks over to the bank, and he's looking at us, and he's like, boys, if y'all get out right now, pull your boat up, this bank, I'm going to load the boat up, load y'all up in my truck, and I'm going to take y'all back to where y'all started, because it's getting dark, and you're in a bad spot. And, you know, after we had done all that, because at first my friends, bad choice of words right there, not friends, dude, but, you know, at the time would consider that. But they were trying to blow the guy off, and I'm like the voice of reason. I was like, we have an out. We have a ride.
Hey, let's fucking go.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's get back to my truck, and let's get back to Alabama. And they were like, once you put in, you don't put in, you get where you're going. And I was like, where are we going? Because nobody seems to know. And this isn't fun anymore. It's not funny. And it ain't fun.
I mean, well, that's what me and Jesse had. We're like, literally, like, you're like 4 or 5 hours in, and you're like, when is this going to end? This
yeah.
sucks. Like, because, like, the Cahaba, like, it's not, like, an easy, you're not floating down it. You're not. It's like you're either picking up the boat and you have the boat on your shoulders, or you're in the boat and then you're moving it like you have either leg on either side pushing off a rock, or you're fucking, you're paddling your ass off to try to maneuver, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, by, like, the fourth or fifth hour, we're done.
You know, it's like that. It's like that scene in Pineapple Express after they spent the night in the woods.
I've never seen Pineapple Express.
Oh, my God. Well, all right, so... they have a freak-out moment because they had been smoking in the woods because they're paranoid that the guy that they had bought the weed from was out to murder them. And on top of that, that guy's in bed with the cops, so they could track their phones. They have a freak-out. They rush back to the car. Seth Rogen's character is the type of guy that would call in to the radio shows, right?
Yeah.
And... James Franco's character could care less about talk radio. Like, right when they get back to the car from their freakout in the woods, Seth Rogen turns the key, turns it on talk radio, and they pass out. The next morning, they wake up, and James Franco's character, all right, tired of the woods, let's get out of here, man. And he's trying to turn the key over, won't turn, the battery's dead. And, like... that is what it always feels like when you're on a camping trip or like a riverboat trip gone wrong, or it has gone on longer than you anticipated. It's like, I'm tired of the woods. Let's wrap it up.
Get the fuck out of here.
But there is no wrapping it up because you're stuck.
No, I mean, that was our problem on the river, where it's like, there's no getting out. Like, you have to just keep going. You know, like, because you can't just, I mean, you're in the middle of fucking nowhere. So you have to fucking keep going until you hit a road.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I don't mean to get religious, and I don't know what the fuck this means, and I'm still processing this, Alan. But this did happen, and Jesse is my witness. Me and him are at our wits' end. We're sunburned. We're both sunburned as fuck. And even Jesse. Jesse's Mexican and he's sunburned.
Fire Camino has his patented summer look. He has the wife beater tan line going on at this point.
You already know. Funny enough, I also, do not, like, PSA. Do not wear fucking cowboy boots to go kayak.
No shit.
Well, I learned that the hard way. So,
you know. Dude, you have three options. You have, you have four. You go barefoot, which at this day and age, man, we used to jump off of train, like the train bridges. What do they call those? Truffles? What is that called?
Yeah, trussels or whatever.
Trussels. And one day, like, this old guy had called us. Like, we had gone out there, like, multiple weekends to do it. I mean, it was just a rush, right? And he called us. Yeah. He called us on the way out. I mean, he lived in the area, and I guess he had seen us, like, going in there. And he stopped to tell us his story. And he's, you can take this however y'all want to. Y'all are teenage boys. Y'all are going to do what y'all want to do anyway. I was that age once, but I'm just trying to save y'all your life or possibly like an ER trip. But you know those beams that run across the rail? The extra parts of that trussle, when the workers finish, they threw those metal beams into that water that you're jumping into from that trussle like spears. And so you could shish kebab yourself.
He ain't wrong, because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, we crossed a railroad crossing, like, and there were some beams that were sticking like straight up, like fucking like medieval spikes.
I'm telling you. And so, like, but back to, you have four options. You go barefoot, which is not a good idea because... of, you know, what I just, you can't see where you're stepping. And it's the same rule that I have about the ocean. It's the same rule that I have about the woods at night or any body of water. I don't like stepping anywhere to where I can't see where my foot's going.
I agree with that.
But if you're in the water, like you have water shoes, which is, we're from Alabama, I would call that pussyfooting. You could wear Crocs or you could wear an old pair of tennis shoes that you don't care about anymore. But I'm impressed, Josh. Cowboy boots, good Lord, how heavy were those things?
They were heavy as shit because they're steel-toe boots. And guess what? My dumb ass, like, listen, I only have one pair of steel toes. So, like, I had to dry them fuckers out before work on Monday.
A wonderful Sunday outing with Jesse.
No, this was Saturday.
Oh, you didn't work. You didn't. You had a Saturday off. That's right.
I had a Saturday off. And you know what I did? Instead of, like, resting, which was what I should have done, I went on a goddamn fucking 7.5-hour boat adventure. Me and Jesse both, we were like, it'll be 2 hours. We'll get to 280. It'll be no problem. Which is asinine. If you've ever been on the Cahaba River, you understand how stupid that fucking idea is.
All right. So let me ask you this.
What's up?
I may be reaching, but Huck Finn, Mark Twain, do we understand why that book was banned? Did words fly that day that probably shouldn't have been said?
Oh, me and Jesse's had a lot of shit on that river. It wasn't necessarily racial, but we did say it. Well, for Jesse, it was racial, but
now, for those of you listening, Jesse happens to be racial.
Yes, but Jesse also has some racial opinions.
Jesse, I'm not going to throw you under the bus like that if you're listening.
No, that was the thing I was trying to get at earlier, where it's like, we are both sunburned. I'm like, Jesse's Mexican and he's sunburned, so we're fucked.
Yeah, you're definitely in a bad, because you and I are both redheaded and we lack, what is it? Is it melatonin that you take for sleep?
Melatonin is what you take for sleep. Melatonin is what gives it the flavor.
No. And melanin is the pigment in your skin, which you and I lack. So I don't know about you, but I can get sunburnt from the wind hissing at me.
Yeah, and needless to say, I was sunburned as fuck. Jesse was also sunburned, but not to the level.
Redheaded problems.
He had a little more spice in his diet. But, we eventually made it to Whitechapel, which is a road that runs between Moody and Trussville. And there's a bridge that goes over the road. It was funny, when we were loading out, there was another group of people loading in. And they were like, oh, did you have a fun time on your trip? And we were like, fuck no, we didn't have a fun time on our trip. That sucks. And they were like, oh, shit, where did y'all load in at? And we said, Trussville. And they go, that's like 8 miles. And we were like, yeah. And they go, well, we're doing, we're just going from Whitechapel to Overton. It's 10 miles, but we're going to camp halfway through. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you're going to camp at the 5-mile mark? And we went 8? Just raw dogging with no food, no nothing?
Yeah, so like, novices ran into veterans.
Yeah, literally, because they were like, yeah, you don't do that. Like, they looked at us like we were retarded, because they were like, no, you take breaks, you pack plenty of water and food and whatever, and like, listen, me and Jesse went out there with 2 kayaks and 2 bottles of fucking Circle K water, and that's it. That's all we had for the whole 8-mile trip. We had our kayaks, we had our piles, we had two fucking bottles of water. That's it. Between us.
Between the two of y'all and the information that the two of y'all possessed, y'all thought that was going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. No. We thought we were going to make it to 280, which is like a 30-mile trek, which we had no idea at the time. We were like, oh, it's a hop skip down the river, you know. But, like, we only went 8 miles, and we thought we were going to die. Like, you know.
I love it, man. When's the next kayak trip?
Probably this weekend.
Great. I mean, yeah. I mean, just because you have a bad experience, but I mean, like you said, the things that you glean from it is the reason why I go to the Noxubee County Refuge, just south of Starkville. There's no power lines. There's no internet. There's water, there's a fat-ass crocodile, or alligator, and, I mean, there's nature, and, man, it's great to park the truck, walk the trails, you know, they have these great piers, you can walk out and look over the swamplands, you can look out the lake, you can see all kinds of nature, and, like, exactly what you were gleaming on, like, those highlights with the dragonflies, or... with the different bird calls. I mean, to me, that's how I decompress. Like, I work in the city for 8 hours to where I'm surrounded by vehicles and red lights and green lights and stop signs and do's and don'ts and just so much constriction. What I would consider on my own humanity. And then you go out to nature to where it's apparent that there are no rules or regulations. Anything goes.
Well, I mean, I think that's where you learn, like, there's nothing I can teach you as a man. There's not. Like, if you really want to learn about yourself, you want to learn how the world works, and you want to learn everything else, you have to go out in nature to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's one of those things where it's like, even though, like, yeah, me and Jesse got our fucking ass kicked because, like, we didn't expect to fucking go on this whole 7.5-hour adventure.
But at the same time, I know it was, like, hell, but... I'm happy for y'all because, I mean, look at all the lessons that you learned, you know?
Yeah. No, as one of those things, that's why we'd want to do it again because, like, no, like, when you get out there, like Jesse said this 100 times over, where it's like, when it's harder to get to, the more beautiful it is because it's not bastardized.
Amen.
It's not like you have to work towards it. Like, this is something, like if you want to see the most beautiful bits of nature, like, even when we go on hikes and stuff, where it's like, you have to, like, truthfully strive to, like, hey, I want to see something beautiful.
You know, like, did you ever listen to the hit podcast, Shit Town?
No.
Okay, so it's about, there's a little town in between Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. And I'm currently...
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blanking on the name of it, but there was Bessemer had a small tail within that tail spun, but the guy that
Pleasant Grove,
no, you know, let's pause right there and come back.
Get back home.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hey.
All right. So let me finish up this story so we can get on with the rest of the podcast. Because I know I'll probably bored the shit out of everybody about river boats and fucking going down the river and whatever. So, listen, rivers are big. And I kind of had a weird religious experience, and I want to talk about it on this.
Come on.
Maybe this is weird, whatever. But me and Jesse, we're out in the middle of nowhere. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. We have no cell reception. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, was a white heron. So we see this white heron. It's this big old white heron. We start following it. Because, I mean, we have no choice. We're going down the river. And when all hope was lost, that heron literally led us to White's Chapel, like where the road ran over the river. And as soon as, like, we found it, the heron, like, led us the whole way there, then flew over our heads, and, like, we were there. I don't know if that was God. I don't know if that was Jesus. I don't know if that was a past family member or it was like some like Indian shit. I don't know. But like that white heron showed us the way. Then we were loading out. And it was funny because there was this another group loading in. And they're like, "Where'd you come from?" And we're like, "Oh, we loaded in at Dressel." And they're like, "Damn, we've never gone that way." And they go, "That's like 8 miles. And we're like, "Oh, we didn't know." Yeah, this is our first time kayaking. And they go, "Yeah, we're going to go to, from Overton, we're going to go from White's Chapel to Overton. That's 10 miles, but we're going to stop at the 5-mile mark." I'm like, "Damn, we went 8 miles in a day." And we laughed about it. Anyway, we called my mom, and she came and picked us up. But we got off the river. But, yeah, by the time, like, what we thought was going to be a 2-hour boat ride was a damn 7.5-hour adventure. And, like, truthfully, like, I can think of no other motherfucker that could deal with what we dealt with but Jesse.
Right on, man. Yeah, with those kind of trips or adventures, I don't have very many people I would call on for something such as that, especially the way y'all went about it.
Well, you need somebody physical. You need somebody that knows their shit and is like not going to be a pussy about it. Like, fucking go in, you know?
True. Very true. Anything else to add or subtract from that?
No, not really. I mean, we had a crazy-ass river adventure, and if I can give any advice to anybody out there, fucking plan out your trip and realize rivers are big.
Yeah, they make social groups online for things like that. Definitely check them out.
Yeah, don't raw dog it like me and Jesse did.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to sit here and like tell people to not just get a credit card, go buy 2 kayaks, and just ask their best buddy to go down a river. I'm not going to do that. It seems reckless. I'm not going to do that. You do.
It was fun. It was unbelievably fun, but it was stupid, and we shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Man, I love it. I'm here for it. I think that's what it's all about.
Listen. There's something, like, I always say this, like the key to my success, like, I'm a degenerate, but I have excess in moderation of my drinking or women or gambling or whatever. Like, go crazy, but go crazy to your limit.
Mm-hmm.
And what your limit is maybe way different than mine. You know, so just find what your limit is and do that. But do it. Don't chicken out. Don't, you know.
We don't like any pussyfooting around here.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, here's the thing. Like with gambling. Like, people will be like, oh, I put $5 on a Kentucky Derby. I'm like, that's bullshit. That's nothing. Put half your total income on it. Don't do that. Do not do that. That's what I do. You know, like, you have to find what you are comfortable with as a person. And it's like, am I going to go on a riverboat adventure that may take me half the day and I'm fucking sunburnt and starving by the end of it? Yeah. You know, just find what you are comfortable with and explore that. But do not cross that limit. Always, as a person, have that line of where it's like, all right, this is where I draw the line.
Right on. I like that. Let's, you and I both had a wonderful open mic experiences over, from the last time that we spoke. Who goes first?
Rock, paper, scissors. What do you pick?
I'm going rock, dude.
Damn it, I picked paper. Oh, wait, paper wins. Damn it, I won.
Look at you.
Hey. All right, well, I guess I'll go first. So, I went to the open mic at the Nick. And Josh and Danielle, if you're ever in Birmingham, Alabama, and you're an artist, Josh and Danielle put on the best open mic, besides Alan.
I'm not in Birmingham.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if we're going off open mic, because... but no, I had a wonderful time.
Man, I really appreciate the, just pause right there. I really appreciate the high praise, man. I had Kim Lewis on last night, and, I had put together a singer-songwriter round at the Columbus Art Council. He was representing Mobile. I had a guy, Barney Wells, out of the Nashville area. And I had Drew Young out of Hattiesburg. And I wanted all three of those guys to meet. And so we put on a singer-songwriter night.
Yeah.
And then I booked all three of them again for Porch Fest. And I had Cam on again last night. And, man, I appreciate the flowers, but here's my thing. Like, I'm thankful to Monson that he allows me to be the host and to do things as I see fit. Like, when I throw Porch Fest at his establishment, or when I call the Art Council and I have an idea for an event, I'm glad that those people trust me enough to let me do what I want to do.
Right.
Because it's not going to be anything like that is contrary or is going to run like their locale or business off. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good time. And granted, dude, all my ideas are not hits. Like we're not on Shark Tank, and I'm not doing anything new under the sun. But man, I really do appreciate people like you who frequent open mics and have been around for a time to, you know, to say that we have a good thing because we work so hard for it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I've played a lot of open. God fucking damn it. This is, what, 5 weeks in a row? This is my fucking pants.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I literally fucking cannot fucking take a piss. I even had a Taco Bell cup. I had a wide mouth Taco Bell cup. Fuck it. But, shut up. It's not funny, Alan.
I love you, buddy.
But fucking, damn it, that derailed. But fucking, the thing is, where it's like, an open mic should have an accompaniment. I can't pronounce the word, but like it should have a little bit of everybody, you know, like from beginners to people who are professional to, you know, and like that's one thing that I think you have like generated in Columbus of where like you have people. Like you have all these like Mississippi Mason and fucking I cannot think of his name, but like you've had a lot of people that are just like these are players. They are kick ass fucking people. And like you have them come in and like when you're starting out you go, oh fuck, I get to share a stage with this person, and you know.
Yeah.
I really love what you do with the open mic.
And brother, like the vision continues to expand, and I'll tell you where I'm at with the open mic is we've had I'm glad that you brought up Mississippi Mason. He's getting ready to leave us. He's headed off to Nashville. He's getting married. His wife to be is also, she's an artist and she's also a musician, and they're gonna give Nashville their best shot. And usually I try to talk people down from things like that, but I think that would be good for the both of them. So when he told me about it, I didn't give him any guff, and I, you know, you have my support, but don't forget about us, you know?
Well, he's to the level. Because, I mean, that's the thing, like, when certain people go, like, oh, I'm going to go to Nashville, it's like, Jesus Christ, don't do that. And it's like, but there are some people where like, they can make it. Like, they have the talent.
Sure. But Mason, he is, he's also a guitar teacher. Like, He plays a lot of festivals. He plays a lot of shows, and I'm thankful that you called him out, because people deserve their flowers, and he definitely does, and in more than one way. But he invites the students that he teaches to come out to the open mic at Monson's, and three of them do, and they've been coming for months now. They're not there every time. But they do come. One is there more than all the others. And after the first time that I saw that young man play, I think he's 17, I pulled him off to the side after he had finished his set. He was incredibly robotic. You know, you could tell that he had never been, he never played for a crowd. He had never been on a stage, right?
Yeah.
And I pulled him off to the side, and you did a wonderful job. He was playing like Johnny Cash type songs and that kind of cowboy rock and roll, right? And it's good for him. It's good for his voice. It's good for his style. Everything that he has going on, he's really good at it. But he was like really rugged and robotic. And I pulled him off to the side, and I said, "Look, I want to encourage you to continue coming to the open mic. I think this is good for you. I can tell. Was this your first time on a stage?" He said yes. "I can tell. That's not an issue. You have to start somewhere. I'm glad you started here. Let me give you a couple of pointers. It was hard to watch you. Although I like what you were doing, I like what was coming out of your guitar and out of that microphone with your voice, but it wasn't good watching you. So what I want you to do, and we'll meet again here in 2 weeks, we do the open mic here every 2 weeks, is if you'll take those 2 weeks on top of the lessons that you're getting from Mason, but what I want you to do for me, if you have a mirror, practice your set, your 15-minute set in front of a mirror, watch yourself. Because I promise you, you'll see what I'm seeing, and your stage presence will increase." And he came back 2 weeks later, and it was a totally different show. Not only did he perform better, but he also had a presence about him on the stage that made that called for your attention. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I mean, that's something you got to learn of, where it's like how to command people's respect. Because, like, here's the thing, like, the open mic and Nick, like, you have to have people that are like, hey, like, nobody's going to give a fuck about you. Everyone that's at the open mic at the Nick is not there to see you. They're not. They're there to drink.
Right.
So, you got to be better than alcohol. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be pretty fucking good. So, you got to command respect. That's why, like, it's funny because I've took my approach to other stages where I'm like, what's up, motherfuckers, and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
like,
believe it or not, Josh, that doesn't work everywhere.
No. I love your preaching to the choir. I've learned that on a lot of levels.
That there's people in coffee shops or other venues that don't like being called MF-er.
yeah, there's, you know, but like, no, I mean, like, I'm used to, like, saying horrible shit to the audience just to get their attention.
Yeah.
You know, I may go up and be like, you cocksuckers or this or whatever, just because it grabs your ear, you know.
That's why I like opening my first song with something that kind of grabs at it like that. It's kind of the all I saw was a short. I don't know what he was on, but it was Jason Isbell when he was talking about songwriting when it comes to crafting hooks or the first line of a song that just immediately captivates the audience.
Right.
And I do intentionally go after writing the line that is going to offset you and make you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, like, let me burn through this real quick. Is he comes back to the open mic, and not only is his performance better, but he actually has stage presence. And I pull him off to the side, and I was like, you did it. You did your homework. You're doing great. Please continue to keep playing. On slow nights, I would like for you to prepare 30 minutes. Could you play 30 minutes? I'm not asking for originals at this point. He's 16, 17 years old. But keep down that Johnny Cash, you know, cowboy kind of punk attitude that you have. Give me 30 minutes. He's done that. And so, like, this past Thursday, he played phenomenal. And thank God this happened, Josh, because you and I have both suffered from this multiple times, and it was the first time it ever happened to him, and he handled it like an absolute king. He is playing an acoustic guitar that has a 9-volt battery in it. And the nine volt battery went dead in the middle of his first song.
Oh, hell.
And I'm running sound, right? And he looks over at me, and I just, with, you know, hand motion, keep going, go through it. He finishes that song, which I know his parents were there and everybody had their phones out and everybody was happy, grandma, and everybody was recording him. And it really didn't go the way that he had hoped. And you can't plan for a crap like that unless you put a brand new battery in every time you go out. Which, I mean,
I do.
You know, you and I both do that. I didn't. My battery was actually dead that day. But anyway, got him a fresh guitar. After that, but to rise through adversity, when grandma and all the family and all these people came to see you play, and you handled it like an absolute champ. Shout out to that young man, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry to relate it to football terms, but it's the only way I can make it make sense. But, like, you line up, you're in shotgun, you're ready to go, boom. You know, you go back, you snap the ball, you go, none of your receivers are open. and you go, God damn it, not a single one. You know, so you have to run the option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you take that fullback and you go, all right, you know, hand the ball off and let's run it. You know, but like, you have to be able to do that shit on the fly. Like, you have to not, instead of spaz and go, oh, fuck, none of my receivers are open, and instead of, like, trying to hold the pocket and, like, be like, oh, let's keep it. Like, no, just hand it off and, like, at least make a run out of it. You know? Because we've all had that, where it's like, yeah, no, your guitar doesn't work. Or, like, your guitar works through half your set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know this, like, I played bullshit pawn shop guitars. So, like, there were so many times where, like, my guitar quit. So, like, my move was, like, if the guitar gave up, I'd throw the fucking cable up. I'd reach down, throw the fucking cable up, and I'd just go into the audience and play acoustic.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you have to have, like, the audibles. You have to, like, you know how, like, quarterbacks have, like, the fucking, they have the flip chart on their wrist? You have to have the same thing as a musician. You have to, like, be ready to be like, all right, well, this is fucked up, but we're still going to make it work because we got to make the play. We got to get a first down.
And that's what I want to say about him is he rose through that adversity. And after that, we had a house guitar. We plugged him in. Everything was great, and he finished his set like a king. And I go on to say this is the next time that, you know, I'm booking shows. If I'm booking them outside of Columbus, and it's pretty good proximity, let's say like maybe a Tupelo or maybe Starkville or, you know, something like that. If I'm playing a show like that, I'm gonna ask that guy, will you open for me? Because I want him to, at that age that he's in, because there were so many times in my life when I was coming up, and I was blessed, it didn't happen much, but it did happen, that there were gatekeepers in these different music scenes that would keep people out. And so,
because people would get jealous and shit.
And so I want to make sure that he doesn't get jaded or get shit on by a music community that should do nothing but lift him up and help him to grow and succeed. And at the worst, I mean, there's nothing worse than pursuing music, being gatekeeped out, moving, finally getting into a scene, and then coming back to your home scene, and everybody is blown away by you. And it's like, I could have been here the whole time. And so, like, I really, like, and that's the thing that I'm encouraging, like, our other veterans at the open mic to do this too, is, like, we're blessed right now. We have a great supportive crowd that are there to hear the music. Yeah, they're ordering pizza. They're ordering cold drinks. Yeah, they're conversing amongst ourselves. But when that guitar strikes and the first vocals come out, you can hear a pin drop. Like, the guitar player at the open mic has the floor, and people are going to hear the song. And, like, I want to continue to cultivate, and I'm so thankful for our veterans who come out. Because does a veteran need to play an open mic?
No.
Probably not. Why do you do it? Just for craps and giggles. Or, you know, maybe you want to... Maybe you want to test a new song.
But you go to give support, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same reason, like, listen, the same reason me and Early James play the open mic and the Nick is because we're drawing out new material, but also, too, it's like, it gives somebody who is starting out hope. Like, truthfully, because you go, oh, fuck, they still do this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so,
it's the same reason you fucking host an open mic. Like, you're beyond that, but you can still, like, go out there and go, oh, I'm not, you know, you're trying out new shit. Like, and then people can go, oh, I play with Alan Aldridge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they would ever say that, but they could. But, like, my point is I'm encouraging our veterans to asked that young man, and our other younglings, as they get more serious, would you consider letting these guys open for them? And if there is a marquee, would you be sure to get their name on that marquee too?
Well, we've talked about this in the past. We're like, that's how I find openers. I go to the fucking open mic and I go, who's good?
Yes. And that's a quick fix. And also, like, let's just say, and it's typically this way, I'm sure it is over that way, is in this area, finding a hour and a half, a 2 hour gig is fairly rare. I mean, it's typically you're going to be playing for 3 to 4 hours. And there are those who have 3-4 hours of original material, God bless them, but I mean, I think even you and I would kind of be tired of ourselves to where, yeah, we'll throw in some Tom Petty, or yeah, let's take a different genre, let's do something new. And so having these young guys come in who are hungry and they're putting in the work and they're coming to the open mic, why not give them 30 minutes to an hour of that time, pay them, but also, you know, that is a 30 minutes or an hour that, you know, you can kind of sit back and relax, and then you get up there and you can actually give what you wanted to give, because God, who the fuck wants to play 3-4 hour sets? Who, like, I've done it. You've done it. Like, that ain't fun. Like, it quits being fun after that 2 hour mark.
No, it's one of those things that where, like, I'm to the point now of where, like, I feel like, and maybe this is pretentious or whatever, you can call it whatever the fuck you want to call it, but, like, I'm going to give you an hour. That's it. If you want Fire Camino to play the show, I'm going to give you an hour. I'm going to give you the best goddamn hour I have. But, like, that's it. That's the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving you anything more than an hour. I'm sorry. Like, this is my act. This is what I do. Well, I mean, you've seen my show. It's pretty fucking, like, I yell, I scream, I fucking... Like, I get in there. Like, for an hour, you're getting your money's worth, you know?
Yeah, and that, you know, after that, you know, that's, you've already got it. I mean, when I think about booking people for shows, whether it be a singer-songwriter round, like, it's different. Like, I'm not booking you for a 2-3 hour, 4 hour show. I want your best 30. I want your best 45.
Well, I mean, like, we've talked about it even with Porch Festival, where it's like, I could have Fire Camino go on for 2 hours. And he could do it. He could do it. Or I could have that motherfucker on fire. I could have him lit for a half hour, and it'll be the best fucking half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you ask somebody who's not to the level? Because I'm not talented enough. Why would you ask somebody who's not capable of making the White Album to make the White Album? But if you could have somebody who could make a funhouse, like the Stooges, if you could have somebody who could make a funhouse every fucking day of the week, you go, this motherfucker's going to give me the most kick-ass 38 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Why leave that fucker alone? Just let him do his thing, because there are different people. There are people who can go out there, and they can rock for 2 hours. And they'll have the crowd engaged, and everything's going to be fine, and they for real, they're confident in the 2 hours. Let them rock the 2 hours. But there are some people, it's like, look, this is what they got, but they're coming with so much balls and so much fucking, you know, like, this is what they got, but they're giving it their fucking all the whole time. I know bands, like, there are bands in Birmingham that, like, they have 15 minutes. That's it. That's their whole act. They have 15 minutes, but that 15 minutes kicks more ass than your fucking 2 hours.
I've seen that. There's this, I've reached out to them. I haven't heard back yet, and I'm concerned about that. But there is this like punk band from Atlanta, and I really want to book them for Porch Fest. But I'm deeply concerned that they only have 15 minutes. But we could but we could totally make that work.
Yeah.
And by the way, just pissed two beer bottles full there, dude. Didn't piss myself. How about them apples?
Don't brag.
The cleanest
you
piss.
You don't have to fucking brag about not getting piss on your jeans.
The cleanest piss.
I know.
In a bottle.
You're in the house. I'm in the truck.
Fair.
Very different.
That's fair. I stood up. I did stand up to do it. That's fair. And I'll tell you, like, there has been those long drives where you're 5-6 hours down the road. It's a hell of a maneuver. You pull your unit out through the zipper pass if you have that option. Maybe you don't have to take the sweatpants down to the kneecaps. Whatever you got going on while you're driving. Now you're trying to hold the hoe over the bottle and row, and then just hope to God you don't fill that damn bottle up. What a task.
Man, that's one thing that's been upsetting me lately. So, like, I've been wearing thongs a lot.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. I've been wearing, like, bikini-style fucking underwear. Because women love it. Because when you fucking, you pull off the pants and you're wearing, they're like, what the fuck? No dude's ever won them. But it sucks because you're at, like, a regular, like, gas station or whatever. And you're like, oh, I have the little fucking bit in my boxers where I can piss. And then you can't piss because you're like, God damn it, I'm in fucking bikini underwear, so you have to fucking pull all your shit out. It sucks.
Welcome to Piss Talk. This is our favorite corner.
This is the second episode.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, brother, like, you sent me some reels, some clips. I had called you last night. And you told me that you was going out to the Nick. You were picking up old Jesse, and I was so happy, so excited. 9 o'clock slot at the Nick's open mic in Birmingham, Alabama. I was happy, dude. I was happy to see that you're getting out there and playing. And I watched the clips. Good set, dude.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. No, it was nice to get back out there. Like, that's what sucks is, like, I wish I could play more open mics because, like, I really, really love them. And I really love the open mic at the Nick. It's just, I worked so, like work today was hell because I was so tired, you know. Because, like, if you gotta wake up at 3:30 in the morning, it sucks, you know. I didn't even leave the Nick till like 10 o'clock or so. Like, I remember you texting me. You're like, how'd it go? And, like, I'm driving, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, fucking, yeah, it was great. Like, I love playing the open mic. I smashed a guitar last night.
I know you did, dude. I'm happy for you.
No, funny enough, I bought that guitar from Latvia. So I bought a custom guitar from Latvia, and I'm like, oh, this guitar is going to be the shit. You know, I was really excited. You could play nylon string, acoustic strings, electric.
I thought I saw you playing the guitar that you bought from Munson.
No, that guitar I gave to Firehouse.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So the kids are using it. Oh, great. That great plug, dude. That's something that I want to do. I need to get up with Eric Wallace. I wouldn't even call it like the Porch Talk guitar. I would like to. If you could see my room right now, I have a drum set I could probably donate. I have a bass guitar I could donate to a kid. You know what I mean? Like, Like, yeah. If these kids are hungry and they're about it and they don't have anything that they could practice on at the house, I could give them something. I need to talk to Eric about that because, my room is spilling over with music equipment. And what better? I would love for a kid to, like, get to know the instrument, beating the hell out of the drums or, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, it's like one of those things, like, here's the thing. Like, when people see me smash guitars, I've had people DM me and be like, that's fucked up. You shouldn't smash guitars. You could have gave that away. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, all the guitars I smash are pieces of shit. Truthfully. Like, if I'm smashing it, it sucks. Like, it's not a good guitar. But, like, if I have something good, either I'll give it away to, you know, during the show, or I'll fucking donate it to the firehouse. Like, I used to own a EDM club, and it was called Club Lasagna. Funny enough.
Oh man. But, was Garfield was he there?
No, Garfield wasn't there, but there was a lot of Molly.
Oh. Oh great, yeah, yeah. That was the female cat, yes.
Right, yeah. But I donated my sound system from that nightclub to Firehouse. Fucking, yeah, anything that I'm like, well, this is salvageable or I can fix it up enough to where some kid can learn something on it, I'll donate it in the firehouse. And, like, I think that's a great avenue. Like, if you have excess music gear, get it in the firehouse.
Right on, good plug. If I remember, I'm going to put their website and how to get a hold of Eric in the description. But check out Firehouse, CAC, if I'm not mistaken, on Instagram or whatever application you like the most. Well, dude, like I think that's pretty cool. Anything else to do? We're at an hour and 20. You want to start winding this thing down? We don't want to give too much away, do we?
No, definitely not, because I'm beyond shit-faced, but I do want to give a little bit of legal advice to anybody.
Okay.
Listen, if you're going to be on a podcast, be hammered, because anything you say can't be held legally responsible. So, if you're drunk, you can say whatever you want. And that's the beauty of Porch Talk. I'm drunk, so none of this can be legally binding.
I love that. I love that. Well, Josh, you... I hope you have a great evening, a great rest of the week, and we'll be with you again next week.
Hell yeah. I love each and every one of you. Good night and God bless. Go listen to fucking Taylor's new single. I'll have anything else to plug. If you're going to go on a riverboat trip, plan it out.
It's good advice.
I love each and every one of you. So, take care.
Right on. Peace out.
Heading out the bars and me, Taylor shots and black-eyed peas. Pepper sauce, t-shirts with V's and 6x9s are blaring. Pick one up at the county line, left the shoulder one more time. Everything felt good, so we passed the wine. Sit right along if you think you can, and don't forget the contraband's best left upon the leaving side. When you're riding through the night, ride along, ride along. Copper line, build her up one more time. Saw a flagger on the side, got close enough to see the eyes. Sit boys,
me far away. Got some reasons I can't stay. And if you can get me towards daylight, I surely would be obliged. Say right on if you think you can. Don't forget the contraband. Best left to come and leave inside when you're riding in through the night. Riding home, riding home. Since I've been running, I ain't touched down long enough to see the ground. And when I bet, I double down. When we pay our money and we take our chance, sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. They say we can't, but we know we can. Say right along if you think you can. And don't forget the contraband's best left upon the leave inside when you're riding through the night. Riding right along. Say right along if you think you can. And don't forget the contraband's best left upon the leave inside when you're riding through the night. Right along. Right along. Right along. Right along. Say right along if you think you can. And don't forget the contraband's best left upon the leave inside when you're riding. Ride along, say ride along if you think you can. And don't forget the contraband's best left upon the leave inside when you're riding through the night. Ride along, ride along, ride along, ride along. Oh, ride along if you think you can. And don't forget that contraband's best left upon the leave inside when you're riding through the night. Ride along, oh, ride along, ride along, ride along, ride along.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.